again, Canadian MMA fans. We are back. Well, and anyone else who might be listening, Canadian or otherwise, we are back for episode 2 of MMA Canada Radio. I am Josh Oliveira. We promise on our second episode we will feature 100% less background conversation and baby talk. So anyone who listened last week maybe knows what I'm talking about. But yeah, we got some bugs worked out, and yeah, we're good to go, aren't we, David? How's it going with you?
Things are going great here. It was an awesome weekend of fights, 9 free fights from the UFC. So, I'm a happy MMA fan, what can I say?
Yeah, speaking of that, did you watch the Facebook undercard? Did you manage to hook into that stream?
Yeah, no, unfortunately I didn't. Really cool idea they had. I was out and about actually interviewing Clay Guida that day. Right at that time, so couldn't get it done. He kind of takes precedence. Really cool idea. It doesn't sound like it did a lot for them on the likes, only bumping them up maybe 60,000, according to the totals MMAPayout.com track. But, cool idea for social media. And, who's going to complain? The day of the fights, they switch it from 2 free fights to 4. You know, it's really awesome. I guess part of Dana paying everyone back for the fiasco in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, no, and they were great fights. I think you mentioned only 60,000 people signed up, but I don't know. I was definitely one of them, and if they want to do something that only the hardcore fans respond to, then I think that's great, too. I mean, people complain enough about maybe different matches that are geared toward mainstream fans, and if the UFC wants to do something for the hardcores, that's more than fine with me. The card itself, what did you think? You watched the main card, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, well, and I've gone back and went and watched the prelims, and actually just while it's off the top of my head, Cody McKenzie, I know you're a big fan of the Kenza team, big Eves Edwards fan, so I had to watch that fight. And one thing I noticed with Cody, he's like the Neil Young of MMA, man, sponsored by nobody, nothing on his shorts, didn't even have a banner with him. Can't remember the last time I saw a fighter go in the cage like that.
No, except maybe George St. Pierre sometimes can wear the blank shorts and maybe just his own logo, but that's a whole other situation where maybe he doesn't need it. But that is odd about Cody. I can't say I noticed that. And he is getting a certain amount of notoriety. You would think that he could get sponsors as well as anyone. So I'm not sure if that's some kind of political statement. Maybe we can talk to him about it at some point. But it was a good fight. He put up, you know, as much as I expected as he would against Edwards. I had Edwards winning that, and wasn't totally shocked that he ended up outclassing Cody. But he's still young, and I think he'll definitely be back.
No, it was great to see Eves come back there, you know, getting out, grappled on the ground and then switching it around, one mistake, and, capitalized and won the fight. The real big news, of course, was Mark Hominick. That was just unreal, the ass-whooping he came out and put on George Roop. Didn't hit him that many times, I think probably maybe 7 or 8 times the whole fight. Every one of those punches sent Roop stumbling backwards, you know.
Yeah, no, for sure. He was going body head, and it seemed like every time he went upstairs, he just cleaned Roop's clock. It seemed to stagger him, dazed him just about every time he went for the chin there. And I don't know, Hominick clearly has power, but I think that caught even a lot of his fans by surprise, the way he was able to stun Roop with just about every shot. And so I think maybe, you know, it definitely bodes well for his fight with Aldo. I don't know if he has, you know, quite the same amount of power as Jose Aldo or quite the same dynamism in his game. But that performance, I think, maybe convinced a lot of people that he can hang and that he has a chance.
Yeah, no. Well, either way, the build-up to that fight's going to be huge, just given the angle the UFC can spin with it being the hometown show for him, first time in his province, you know. There's so many different points they can hit on there to draw interest there. And he's a really technical striker, and so I think it'll be a really nice matchup against Jose. Of course, Jose's the favorite going into it. You know, he's one of the pound-for-pound best right now. But I think Mark definitely has a shot, and this is MMA, so it would be foolish to count him out by any stretch.
Yeah, no, and can you even imagine the response from the crowd if he should win? It'd be quite the underdog story, and yeah, I mean, I, Speaking of which, actually, we just got news today, I think, on MMAcanada.net about the tickets for UFC 129, that is, in Toronto. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, the UFC just announced tonight that they're going to be putting the tickets on sale. It was kind of cool. They it'll be on Saturday, February 12th. For Fight Club members, they can get theirs on February 10th, of course. Hopefully there'll be some left for the general public. But the ticket prices are not too bad. You know, you can you pay $50 to $225 if you're in the stands, and they range from $300 to $800 on the floor. You can find out all the details about when they go on sale, ticket prices, how to get them, and everything at MMAcanada.net. There's a fresh story up there just tonight about it. And that's going to be huge. I mean, Hominick in the title fight, followed by St. Pierre in the title fight. It's just shaping up to be such a really, you know, almost a magical night of MMA for Canadians. Two homegrown talents fighting in the co-main events for titles. It's something that, you know, we're not likely to ever see again, especially in front of 40,000 plus people.
No, and of course, other Canadians on the card as well, Bosek, McDessie, Pearson, I believe. It's going to be quite the card, for sure. In that story, it was announced that they're going to optimize the Rogers Centre there for $42,000, which is a little bit more. We were thinking maybe somewhere in the upper or mid 30,000 spectators, so that's going to be quite a crowd. Do you think they'll be able to sell it out, do you think they'll sell it out right away?
I don't know if they'll sell it out right away, like in 15 minutes or half hour kind of thing, but I think they'll sell it out. You know, anyone I talk to, they're like, oh, are you going? Like, everyone's just so pumped, whether they're in B.C., Alberta, Quebec, Ontario, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, the Maritimes. I've talked to people in, you know, most of the provinces across Canada, and they're going. You know, no one wants to miss this. So I think 42,000 tickets will be an easy sell for them.
Yeah, fair enough. And, of course, one person we – sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say before we turn back to it, no, one person, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say one person we won't be seeing, I guess, at UFC 129 is Tim the Thrashing Machine Hag, unfortunately. The fight did not go his way against Matt Mitrione, and you have to feel for Hag because he had those pair of really nice knockouts leading up to that fight, but it just seems like things don't break his way on the big stage. And what do you think is next for him? We have had some news, lots of news, obviously, about aggression MMA out of Alberta. Do you think he may be headed back there?
Well, I mean, we're kind of jumping the gun a bit. I mean, first of all, Tim hasn't been released yet, to my knowledge, from the UFC. One thinks it's likely, given that he's dropped four consecutive bouts there. Given that, you know, they are, I mean, the heavyweight division, it's deeper now than it's ever been, but that's all relative. It's still not very deep. There's not a lot of heavyweight fighters out there that are top competitors. I mean, even in Canada, you can't even really put together heavyweight rankings of the top Canadian fighters because you're hard-pressed to even find five, you know, are really at a high caliber. Tim, I mean, given that we've got two Canadian shows coming up, Toronto and Vancouver, I honestly could see him getting another shake, possibly at the Vancouver show. It's not till June, and he is a Western Canadian fighter, so it's, you know, always good to get those the homegrown talent on there. But having said that, he didn't look good in the fight. He didn't look very good, and Mitrione looked good. So, you know, Mitrione picked him apart with those leg kicks, outboxed him, stuffed all Tim's takedowns, and I think that just kind of demoralized him. Mitrione just really pounced and outstruck him, dropped him, and finished him.
And a couple of fair points in there. I guess I had jumped the gun, you know, thinking that Tim Hag was going to be released, assuming so. It is actually, you're right, it is very possible that they'll hold on to him because, you know, a big heavyweight like that, someone you can, I mean, obviously they have an interest in putting him on the poster because they did, you know, for the fight for the troops too, regardless of the fact that you know, he had struggled with them lately. So they're clearly looking to push heavyweights and it might make sense to keep him around. So hopefully they do. That would be great for him to get another shot at it. But to talk about aggression, nonetheless, they had a pretty big announcement this week. You know, a lot of people expected it, but they've acquired somehow acquired Ryan Ford from the MFC. Can you talk a bit about that? I know you were at the press conference. Why? How? How is what I really want to know. How did they manage to get Ryan away from the MFC? Clearly, he wanted to go, but we were all under the understanding that he had signed a four-fight contract and clearly only fought there twice since then.
Well, let's for our listeners, let's give them a bit of a treat and let them know the actual reason for why this whole falling out came about. And this is what I'm told. This isn't from the MFC's side. This is coming from Ryan and his manager Steve Gavin. Apparently, fighters sell tickets and they get a proportion of the ticket sales, be it a percentage or a flat dollar amount. When fighters take the tickets, they sign for the tickets. Story was on the MSC's part that, not all the money had come back from ticket sales, so they wanted to garnish a portion of his fight purse. That's where you get Ryan's side for having the breach of contract because they made him sign a new bout agreement. Either way, so money gets involved. He said, she said. There's not a paper trail for it, apparently, and so it just becomes, a bit of a pointing fingers thing and a lot of animosity, as you can see from some of the comments that have come out over the past few days since the announcement last week on Friday. Seems like it was a little petty over small dollars relatively, but Ryan's gone. He's done. He's over with aggression now, unless lawyers can do anything to change that. So who knows, but it's not the first time he's been to court, over a contract with Pav, or Pav, which has been to court with fighters over their contracts. Other big announcement they had is they're also going to be having their bantamweight title fight, which will be kind of exciting for the city as well, moving to a new venue. They'll take over the Shaw Conference Center from the Fight Club, keeping on Mark Sinclair from the Fight Club to do their production, because that's one thing the Fight Club really had going for it was a nice venue. It's a sort of a premier location in downtown Edmonton, quite camera-friendly. If they're wanting to do anything as far as TV deals or anything, it's optimal for that. It's a good match. Mark will work out well for them. Big news from aggression. We'll see if they can capitalize on all this in 2011 and sort of raise the profile of their promotion.
I want to dig into it just a tiny bit more. So the story with Ryan leaving the MFC, Ryan Ford leaving the MFC based on, there were some tickets that he was supposed to have sold and the money may or may not have returned. This sounds kind of as much like an excuse as a reason to me. Maybe it seems he just kind of wanted to go to aggression. Maybe he had the turbulent relationship with Pavlich in the past, obviously. So, in any case, he's there now. Do you have any thoughts on who he might fight? And are we to assume that he's going to headline the Aggression 6 card on March 16th?
Yeah, no, for sure. One major reason for any promoter to want Ryan Ford fighting for them in Edmonton is the fact that he does have a fan following and moves a lot of tickets. He'll definitely be headlining their card. Say, for example, if Tim Haig were to be released, quite likely he'll go back to aggression, given that he fought his last two fights there for him. So I could see a co-main event, Tim and Ryan, but barring Tim getting cut, definitely Ryan will be in there. Mind you, with that the bantamweight title fight, which I just sort of brushed over, Diego Wilson from out in Victoria, trained at Azuma around your way, taking on Josh Hill from Iron Tiger Muay Thai out in Ontario. This is going to be a nice battle of two undefeated guys, and I'm actually surprised to see Diego coming out to Alberta to fight. I thought he was kind of tied up out on the West Coast there.
Yeah, no, he's a great fighter. His last fight was, I believe, AFC 3 in July or August against Dan Lin there, and it was a bit of an early stoppage, but nonetheless dominant performance by Diego, and as you said, the undefeated record. So it should be a great fight. And I'm not, too well versed in the career of Josh Hill, his opponent, I believe from Iron Tiger Muay Thai out there in Calgary, 4-0. But two undefeated guys should be a heck of a fight, I'm sure. And as far as Diego, you know, being tied up with ASC, I never, you know, have heard of a fighter having an exclusive contract with Armageddon FC. It's usually Island exclusive or BC exclusive. But nonetheless, they do seem to be having some trouble, you know, lining up their top guys. Diego obviously hitting the road, and Caleb Starnes. So with these couple cards AFC has coming up in the next little while here, one in Halifax even, it's going to be kind of interesting to see who they can line up, you know, what they've got in their bag of tricks.
Yeah, no, it's I'm kind of surprised that Caleb won't be fighting out for Armageddon, given that he just won their middleweight title when he beat Nick Hinchcliffe, and he's got two bouts lined up out east. I mean, this weekend, of course, he'll be fighting at Rec MMA, but other announcement that came out probably since the last show was that ringside, he'll be fighting Patrick Cote there, which is quite an exciting little announcement. April 9th at the Bell Center, ringside sort of stepping up their game and looking to take the place that TKO once held, you know, filling up the Bell Center, and that'll be quite an exciting card. A lot of other people on there. Chris Clements as well, be defending his welterweight title against Alex Garcia, who, if people don't know, find out about. This guy is the real deal. He's sorry, no pun there for Ryan Ford there, but Alex Garcia, definitely one of the top welterweights in the world right now that's not in the UFC, and definitely a guy to watch. And as well on that card, the ringside card, they'll have their bantamweight title fight with Mitch Gagnon, another really standout fighter, taking on Rajon Gruel. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, but Patrick Cote, Caleb Starnes, that's big stuff. Good to see Patrick sign with a local promotion out there in Montreal and ready to get back on the horse since getting released from the UFC.
Yeah, that card's still a bit down the line on April 9th there, but yeah, you mentioned Starnes. Many people expected him to fight at what was once AFC 5, now moved to AFC 6 here in Victoria. That was going to be on April 2nd. And that's obviously too close together, April 2nd, April 9th. So it is a bit surprising, but Darren Owen you know, has said, and it makes sense, that Caleb wanted this fight in Quebec, back in the Bell Center, because it's kind of a chance at redemption for him, really. It's a, kind of a return to, I don't know, the scene of the crime almost, from UFC 83 there, with the Nate Quarry fight. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the crowd receives Starnes in Montreal, because not only will they have the memory of that performance, but also they'll have obviously an interest in his opponent winning, the Patrick Cote from Quebec. So that'll be a really interesting card to watch. You mentioned it's deep and deeply set, lots of good fights on there. Steve Bossy versus Roger Hollett, also a lot of people are going to be interested in, a couple guys with big names. So we'll break the card down, I'm sure. We'll have many episodes of MMA Canada Radio between now and April 9th. But what interests me, you know, right off the hop is just how the crowd is going to react to Cote versus Starnes. I imagine they probably won't sell out the Bell Center. They might not even attempt to, but it'll probably be nearly deafening in there nonetheless, wouldn't you expect?
Well, UFC 83 wasn't that long ago that MMA fans will have forgotten his performance against Quarry, and I think his reception may be second only to that Josh Koscheck received when he last fought there, because a website was started called Run Caleb Run,
which recently shut down. I'm not sure exactly why that was, and maybe they weren't getting the traffic, but probably Caleb appreciates that. I don't think he deserved to have you know, that kind of a monkey on his back. But we're being told by our producer, Jeremy Brand, that we're being joined by our first, you know, guest of the evening. David, would you like to introduce?
Yeah, everybody. I believe on the phone we've got Lee Meehan with us. If you're not familiar with Lee, he's the promoter of Rumble in the Cage, based out of Lethbridge, Canada's longest-running MMA promotion, contrary to what some say. He's also a heavyweight fighter who just fought Jeff Monson at Manitoba Cage Fighting, or Cage Fighting Manitoba, CFM, Lee, if I'm not mistaken. And the pioneers of Canadian MMA. He's been there since the beginning, currently has his gym in Lethbridge, Canadian Martial Arts Center, where he trained some of Southern Alberta's top fighters, as well as his son, Jordan Meehan, who is fighting in the main event at Rec MMA Strong and Proud this Friday, January 28th, against Joe Riggs. You can catch it on GoFightLive.tv. Go to MMACanada.net for the link. Lee, a bit long-winded, but how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great.
Your boy, he's got a big fight coming up in a couple nights. How's he feeling? Is he ready to go?
Yeah, he feels great. No injuries, 100% healthy, weight's right on, everything's firing strong, so it's going to be great.
Perfect. Now, yourself, we'll get to Jordan, get back to Jordan a little bit later. You've got a card coming up on February 19th, Rumble in the Cage 42. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, number 42 at the Salt Pavilion in Lethbridge. We've got a great fight lineup. Jordan, my son, will be fighting the main event against Akito Allen from Calgary. Brad Cardinal from Calgary will be defending his title against Rob Roy from Fernie area. And then a whole stack of the up-and-coming fighters and everything fighting on the show as well. So it's going to be a great lineup.
Now, Rob Roy, that's a replacement there. Brad Cardinal was meant to be taking on Brad Causey at a Trail BC, you know?
Yeah, he was supposed to fight Brad Causey, and I just got the call the other day that Brad had wrecked his knee training, so he pulled out and needed to find a replacement, and was calling around the country to see who would be willing to come in and fight. And Rob just got back to me yesterday saying that he was clear to fight, and he's fought several times, and I've seen him fight, and he's tough, and got some good skills, so it's going to be a good challenge for Brad Cardinal as well.
Mm-hmm, definitely. The main event at that card, your son Jordan taking on Keto Allen. It's kind of interesting because both these fighters recently fought Jason High at a Team Body Shop there, Antonio McKee's gym down in California, both came up short in their bouts. Jordan going the distance and losing a unanimous decision, whereas Keto was knocked out in the first round. It's kind of interesting to see these two getting together, because I remember talking with Jason High, and I was joking with him that he was kind of being used as a litmus test for the up-and-coming welterweights, and now the two guys that he was the test for are facing off against one another. What do you think about that matchup? I mean, Keto's a really strong wrestler. Jordan definitely known more for his striking. How do you see that kind of fight playing out?
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes it interesting, right? Different styles, guys lean one way more than another, so you never know what's going to happen. But I think Jordan's wrestling is to the point now where I don't think it'll be that big a factor. And obviously Keto Allen will be training and striking and improving on that. So I think it comes back down to what the key to victory of all fights is: timing, and who has the better timing that night for picking off, whether it's the kicks and the punches or the takedowns or submissions. So I think that's what will be the biggest factor on who wins that fight.
Gotcha. Now, quite often, let's clear this up once and for all. We hear Mark Pavlich at the MFC quite often say he runs the longest-running promotion in Canada. But if I'm not mistaken, Rumble in the Cage used to be known as Roadhouse Rumble and started about 4 months before the first MFC event. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's true. I did the first fully sanctioned full MMA show in Alberta, and we were doing it in a bar at the time. It was called the Roadhouse Bar. So I called the Roadhouse Rumble, same company, same numbered company. And then when we moved to a bigger venue, we just started calling it Rumble in the Cage so the people in the community weren't confused as to where it was being held. That's the only reason for the slight name change. But that's been the Rumble the whole time. And we've done 41 shows under the name with the Rumble. And we did three shows for amateur guys to fight to get experience as well. So we've done 45 shows in total so far. And, again, the whole point of the show is to get fighters experience so they can get to the next level and learn how to do interviews and cut their teeth on with the fight experience. So, yeah, despite what other people say, of course, people like to say stuff to, hear their own voice or hear their name mentioned on the news or whatever. So maybe that's why they say the things they say. But the facts are the facts, and we're the longest-running show. We always have bigger crowds than Mark Pavlich has at MFC. And so, if you just read what he puts on the Internet, that he's the biggest show and has all this stuff, then I guess you can believe that. But try traveling around the country to some of their shows and the great promotions that are out there and see that so many shows have way bigger crowds than he has, more exciting fights, better fans, better everything. So, that's just the way it is.
Well, and what's your secret then? I mean, we see a lot of promotions come and go. They do, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 shows, and they're not able to stay in business. You've been going for, you know, over a decade now. What's the secret?
I think the key is staying within your budget. I mean, a lot of times people want to be promoters, and they want to be the UFC, or, you know, they want to have this big name. Oh, if I have this big name on my show, then that's going to make me sell tickets. Well, it may or may not, and so you got to stay within what you can afford. How many tickets do you sell, and what's your price range for your market? And you got to understand what you're dealing with, and you know, and that to me is the key. Is I'm lucky that I have a gym, so I have lots of fighters of my own that I can call on to fight, and you know, so I have, you know, this next show here, we got 15 fights booked, and 9 of them are guys from my gym, so that automatically sells tickets because their family and friends can come watch them, where some other promoters don't have that. And, you know, you get some shows they could have local guys fighting, but they piss everybody off, so no one wants to work with them, or they think that, you know, they control the world and they dictate what happens, so guys get tired of going there and they stop fighting for them, and that hurts business. So I think I've just been able to treat guys well. You know, don't claim to be the biggest or the best, even though, you know, we may be the longest running. We just try and do a great job every time. So fighters come there, they have a good time. They have a good time with the fights. Everything straight up. Guys have good fights, win or lose. And they're happy with how they're treated. They keep coming back. So I think that's the key to success that we've had.
Well, and it just makes me think, as you talk about that, of Monty Cox and the way he's worked his business down the States with Extreme Challenge back in the day, where he would have so many fighters under contract that he was managing that, you know, he was able to fill half his card with guys that he had, and so you don't have to worry about fighters dropping out so much because you've sort of got your own stable down there in Lethbridge at CMC to pull from.
Yeah, yeah, and that helps. And if I did a show in Calgary, I had mostly Calgary fighters fight on. I had a few of my guys from my gym. And that's it. If I do a show in Edmonton, I'm going to have Edmonton fighters fight on the show. I mean, that to me is a no-brainer. They're the ones that people are going to want to see. You know, you have two former UFC guys fight on your show. That doesn't mean they're going to sell any tickets. I mean, people may not even know who they are or even care. You know, if they want to see their local guy fight. And I think that's the problem with most promotions and even the TV networks and stuff. Everyone wants to be the UFC or pretend they are, and so they miss out on what's really exciting, and that's the fighting. And the local guys fighting and the up-and-coming guys put on the best fights. And that's, you know, where it's at. Where the money should be spent is promoting the new guys. You know, instead of having the guys that, you know, made it to the big show and then aren't there anymore. You know, they had their chance, and yeah, they're great fighters, and they put on a good show, but they also want more money because they've been to the top. So it's hard for promotions to keep up to that pay scale when you've got all the expenses of flying guys in, hotels. I mean, the budget's crazy for a show. You got to control it somehow.
Well, and it makes me think that when you're flying in these big names, they're not even going to sell you 5 tickets. I mean, literally in terms of going out there and hustling and putting butts in the seats, whereas local guys, they can get their friends out, their family to come fight. You know, Lethbridge, when I watch the Rumble in the Cage shows on GoFightLive.tv, you know, the place is just going nuts because people are cheering for people they know.
Yeah. Yeah, you do a show in Calgary, when you got a Calgary guy versus an Edmonton guy, the crowd doesn't know who the Calgary fighter is, but they cheer for him because he's from their town, you know, and that's the reality of it. You know, they want to cheer for someone they know, even though they don't know him, but he's from Lethbridge, they're going to cheer for him, you know, and that's the key to having it. So it's great if you got local guys fighting, but, you know, if a guy's famous because he fought in the UFC, that's great. People know him, they recognize him, but that's got to relate to, you know, sales, whether it's pay-per-view buys or whether it's ticket sales or whatever. So if it works out, great. It doesn't always work out that way. So
now we've been talking about everyone fighting except yourself. You were just in action on January 7th at CFM's inaugural show in the main event against Jeff the Snowman Monson. You got choked out in the first round, but how was that getting in there with, you know, hands down, one of the best grapplers in the world?
That was good. I mean, you know, I took the fight on, some people say short notice, but for me it was right on track. I got enough training before the body broke down and it couldn't perform. But, you know, I felt really good going into the fight, and I didn't know if he'd want to stand with me, but I was comfortable with it going to the ground, even though I know he's world-class. And that's why I wanted to fight. I want to fight someone who's going to, you know, make it a challenge and make it interesting and see what you need to do and work on. And you know, fight was back and forth and going great. And, you know, he did a smart thing in transition. He put on a submission hold and caught me off guard, and so be it, you know, so it was fun.
How's your body holding up now? You just torn your bicep last year, were off on injury, came back, fought Kyle Cardinal and Jeff. How's it holding up? You know, you're in your 40s now.
Yeah, no, it's all right. And I got a reoccurring knee problem now that I just saw the surgeon on, and just going to do some rehab stuff and try and fix it up so I can fight again right away. But, you know, that's just the way it goes, right? You just keep moving on. And I just laugh at I saw a thing on Facebook where Mark Pouch was saying that something about religion, and then he found that his religion was getting back to training and getting in shape, and you know, and which is good. You know, it's good for him to get back in shape and do stuff. But making comments about how good a boxer he was, and someone said he should, about him fighting Dana White, you know, but he said only in boxing. And I just thought that was funny that, you know, I'm older than him, and my thing is I love the sport, and I want to say I've been involved the whole time. I'm not just a promoter or, you know, just a coach. I love everything about this, and I do it every day. And where Mark says he's only good at one thing, and that's promoting. So I don't even know why he'd want to box Dana White when Dana White's boxed before. And so he makes claims like, I'd like to do a tournament, and an 8-man tournament with all promoters fighting each other. I'll put up $50,000 of my own money for a tournament, for the winner gets the $50,000. If the other promoters in the country or the U.S., I don't care where they're from, step in there and fight.
And yeah, well, as long as Fedor doesn't count as a promoter with them one there, then that might get a little dicey.
I'll bet you Mark Pavlich won't fight him. And he's in the same weight division, so.
We'll make it an open weight tournament. That way we can get Jay Gulshani, Darren Owen. We can get Ken Kupch from King of the Cage. Out East, we'll get Eric Shampoo, Steve Williams from Elite One, Jack Bateman, W1. Get you all together. One night,
that'd be awesome.
Man, open weight tournament. 50 grand on the line.
Awesome.
Okay, so you've thrown down the gauntlet. If any promoters out there are listening, just email Josh or myself, and we'll get in touch with Lee, and let's make this happen.
Yeah, we're going to set this up for Rumble in the Cage 43, for sure.
I'll even do modified rules. I'll even do it on their show. It doesn't have to be on my show. They can all get all the glory of it. Let's go do it. Let's quit talking about who's got the biggest show and who's got – let's fight whoever wins gets the vote for the year, and everybody else has to shut up and go home. Let's do that.
No, you're definitely an unsung hero of the Canadian MMA scene, Lee, you know, with all the work you do bringing up the fighters there in Alberta. But one fighter you've been working with in particular is your son, Jordan. And if you don't mind, I understand he's there with you. You mind if we pass the phone over to him and have a chat with him?
You bet. Here he is.
Hey, thank you.
Hello?
Hello, Jordan.
How you doing?
Not too bad. This is Josh Oliveira and David Stanford of MMA Canada Radio talking to you here today. This is Josh. We're just talking to your dad. He had a lot to say about promoting and his gym. And one you know, a real important part of all that, it seems, is you. You train at his gym. You appear on a show that I assume were trained by him. What does it feel like to be a part of his business world that way? And, you know, was this inevitable, do you think?
Well, it's been great. You know, all I really worry about is this training and the fights, and I'm thankful for him to take care of all the business side of it, so that helps a lot. And he helps all the young guys at our gym, you know, coming up. And when I was even younger than I am now,
did he encourage you to get involved in the sport from a young age? I guess I would assume you've been training probably as long as you can remember.
Absolutely. You know, he was always on the road taking me to tournaments when, you know, MMA wasn't really around. We went to Vancouver. I remember driving out there, not getting paid. And now we are today, you know, we came out to Quebec. You know, I'm getting some money now. We're moving up in the ranks, and it's all thanks to him.
Yeah, no, and you've had quite a few fights at a young age, just maybe for the audience. Exactly how old are you at this point?
I'm 21 now.
So 21, and with, you know, just a whole host of professional fights, over 20, 25 even. So that's pretty unusual. How old were you when you fought for the first time against Rory McDonald, I guess it was?
I had my first professional fight against Rory McDonald when I was 16, but I was fighting before then some amateur fights against some older guys, and then I went professional after I had about 6 amateur fights. I think it was around then, and then professional since, and just tried to fight the best guys around.
Yeah, no, and we can see that, and you even got off to a bit of a rocky start in your pro career. I think lost in 4 of your first 7, but since then you've really turned it up, really been on fire, and are starting to get that recognition across Canada, probably even elsewhere. Have you noticed in your more recent fights just a bit more attention?
Yeah, I have, but I've also, you know, just believed in myself more the last few, and I've learned a lot even on those hard losses, those first few fights. I fought the guys and continue to fight, you know, the top guys, and if I win or lose, I try and learn a lot from them. Especially if I lose, I'm learning, you know, don't lose. I love winning, and losing sucks, so just learn from that and move on.
Yeah, one fight maybe you can share what you learned in the fight with Jason High. This was at a Rumble in the Cage not too long ago, in 2010 anyway, I think September. He's fighting this weekend as well, but what did you learn in that fight? Obviously, he's a real high-level wrestler.
Yeah, he's a top guy, and I knew I could hang with him, and then I proved it to myself when I was pretty much a wrestling match, and we went back and forth the whole time. I took him down, and then coming out of that fight, you kind of realize that, you know, I belong in there, and just gives me more confidence for myself and makes training even better and keeps me at it.
And then you took a fight just a short time later against Chase Degenhardt. In that one, you were dominant, and maybe, you know, did you feel like it all sort of came together at that point, and like maybe now you're ready to take another big step?
Yeah, absolutely. After the Jason High fight, went to the Chase fight, and I had a ton of confidence. Even though I lost, you know, I knew I could be in there with the best, and I just went out in that fight, and it was at 185. It was a higher weight class, but I knew that didn't matter. I knew if I just, you know, worked my game plan and used my speed, I'd come out on top. And even that fight, it was a great experience. It was such a good time. You know, we had a great night in Lethbridge at my hometown, Rumble in the Cage. It was such a fun night. Our whole team did good. It was a great time.
Yeah, and a lot of fighters say that they want to stay busy, and a lot of fighters say that they'll kind of fight anyone, you know, at any time. But you seem to really embody that. 6 fights in 2010, including you know, that tough one with Jason High, a real high caliber fighter, and now again on short notice, you've taken a fight with Joe Riggs. How did this come about? How did you first hear about the possibility of fighting on Rec MMA?
Oh, well, I was supposed to fight a guy, Martin Grandmont. He's from out here, and it just kind of fell through. You know, I knew he was a really great fighter, so I was training hard and in good shape, but that kind of fell through. So then they just started asking around, and Joe Riggs popped up, and that's perfect. You know, I couldn't have asked for any better. He's got a good name. Lots of people know who he is, so it's a great opportunity for me.
No, they certainly do, and he's been doing, you know, a lot of winning lately. I think maybe dropped one to Jay Heron fairly recently, but, you know, was let go from Strikeforce on a win and signed with Bellator, and of course everyone's familiar with his days in the UFC, so this could be a huge win for you, and I assume you've been watching his career probably like the rest of us for years now.
Oh, absolutely. I've been a fan of his, you know. Been watching him on TV, so he's been at the top. He, you know, I'm trying to get where he was at, so, you know, hopefully we can just put on a good fight and I can get even more experience out of it and get a win.
But you're feeling good. Your dad said that the training went well, and as short as it was, did you manage to work a few things, and do you have a good idea of how you want this fight to go?
Yeah, I'm feeling really good right now. I no real plan of exactly how it's going to go, but I know I need to use my footwork again a lot, you know, use my speed. He's probably a little bit heavier than me. I know he's a good wrestler, but I'd love to wrestle him too, you know, feel his strength and, you know, feel his striking as well. So wherever it goes, I'm happy with, but just speed, it's all about speed and moving quick and hitting fast and not being there, don't get hit.
Yeah, and maybe on a guy like Riggs, obviously extremely talented, but not known necessarily for his speed, and has been in a lot of those wars that may have slowed him down a tiny bit. You feel maybe you can use your youth to your advantage, kind of zip around him a bit?
Absolutely, I do. I think so. I think you can hit some angles good and catch him with some punches you can't see, and hopefully the crowd's on their feet.
And kind of regardless how this fight goes, it's going to be the main event, at a pretty major card. Rec MMA is a very solid promotion. It's a deep card as well. Some other good fights that we'll talk about later. And as well, it's going to be on the Score a couple weeks later. A lot of people will be watching that. So this could be kind of a real breakout moment for you. Are you excited about just this chance to really step into the spotlight maybe and have a lot of people who've maybe heard about you or know about you, have them see you kind of perform at your best?
Absolutely. I'm ready for the challenge. It's a great, great deal that it's on the Score. And get that exposure, and it'll also be on Go Fight Live the night of the show,
right.
So people can watch it on some pay-per-view. All my friends and family back home will be watching it, so I'll be amped about that. They'll be pulling for me hard, and people around the world too. So, yeah, it's a really good opportunity that, you know, more people can watch it just all around the world, on the Score and on Go Fight Live.
Yeah, and I will definitely be tuning in on Go Fight Live. It's actually a really great website. They show a lot of MMA, smaller shows, medium-sized shows, and for a really decent price, folks. So if anyone's out there with $10 in their pocket that they can spare and want to see some decent live fights this Friday night, I would definitely recommend checking out Rec MMA, Me and versus Riggs. It was great talking to you, Jordan. David, did you want to get a question or two in here?
No, that about covered it. I'm lucky enough I'm in Alberta, so I get to come across Jordan at the fights here and there. How you doing, Jordan?
I'm doing good, David. How you been?
Good. So, well, and I guess just one for you. We were both at King of the Cage 48 in Edmonton. You were cornering one of your buddies there, and Joe Riggs fought on that card, laid an absolute beating on Trent Thorne after securing him in a crucifix. Did you see his fight that night?
I didn't, actually. I just cornered my buddy there and watched them knock out a couple guys, and then I had to hit the road. I didn't get to catch his fight.
I gotcha. It was a good thing. You don't want to see it. It's like Muhammad Ali not looking at the punching bag that George Foreman was working when he walks into the gym. You don't want to look at that. What do you got quick turnaround time, because February 19th, you know, you got to be fighting back home at Rumble in the Cage again, main event. Look at you, Mr.
3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. Going in against Keto Allen, very different, you know. He's a very powerful wrestler. You'd mentioned when you were fighting Jason High that really turned into a wrestling grappling match, and it seemed like that you decided to go in there and not keep it on the feet but test yourself in his world. You know, going in against Keto, where he's definitely known as a very strong wrestler, is that something you might want to do, is, you know, play to his strength and just see how it goes?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'd also like to keep it standing and make him play my game as well. But that's one thing I like to do, is test myself. So I'd love to wrestle him as well, you know, see where he's at, see where I'm at. And then, you know, maybe later in the rounds, get back to standing and see what he's got. So I think it's going to be a good fight. And I like to turn around about 3 weeks. So keeps me in the gym. I'll just take maybe a couple days off to rest the body and then get right back in it. So it'll be awesome.
Jeez. Well, we wish you the best of luck this Friday night, Jordan. Big chance for you here. If you can beat Joe Riggs, hopefully then we'll be catching you at UFC 131 in Vancouver in June. Cool. All right, that was Jordan Meehan, everybody. He fights Joe Diesel Riggs in the main event of Rec MMA Strong and Proud this Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. You can catch it on GoFightLive.tv. It'll play on the Score Fighting Series about 2 weeks later on tape delay. Be sure to check that out. Well, that was a good little sesh there, Josh. We got the old school and the new school all in one family there.
Yeah, well, of course, with Lee Mean, he's kind of new and old school, still fighting. But, no, it was great to talk to both of them like that. And almost wanted to ask Lee a little bit more about Jordan. He didn't get a chance to, you know, share his thoughts on his son's career, but I'm sure he's proud. And, again, it just works out great the way he can promote his own son in the main event of an upcoming show. It's quite a good story. I think maybe unique in the Canadian scene anyway. I don't know of anything quite like it.
No, I tell you, man, that's why we've got to switch up the format from an hour to an hour and a half so we can sit there and gab away for 40 minutes with Lee and Jordan there, give them 20 minutes instead of 10.
But, yeah, well, we'll have a look at that for sure. But, you know, as you say, we are shooting for an hour, and maybe we should go to our commercial break and come back with our weekend preview.
Yeah, no, definitely. We'll take a break here to hear from some of our sponsors, and we will be back to preview Rec MMA coming up. A little bit of Titan MMA, Hard Knocks fighting down in Calgary, and Elite One happening out in Halifax. And let's not forget about Strikeforce Diaz versus Cyborg. Keep it locked, people. This is MMA Canada Radio. We'll be back in a minute.
Authority. Rule. Control. This is what is meant by dominance. Only a select few can climb the mountain. Hard work, sweat, and blood are what is left on the mats. You leave your entire being in the cage and ring, all for that one chance to be called champion. There are no moral victories, only casualties. Are you ready to stand your ground? Go to DominantGround.com and prepare yourself for war. DominantGround.com. Be dominant.
Okay, we are back. I hope you enjoyed that little word from our sponsors. As always, you know, during this portion of the show, sorry, David, I'm getting a bit of an echo. That's okay. Maybe our producer Jeremy can take care of that. Maybe he can't. Maybe you're hearing it, and maybe you're not. In any case, it's still going. We are back. As always, at this time in the show, we will open the lines for anyone, anywhere, to call in. You know, ask us questions. If you have any news you think we didn't cover, anything you want to get out there, that number again is 1-702-430-1757. But in the meantime, there's plenty of MMA to preview, David. Maybe your thoughts on the big three fights. My own thoughts can be read at MMACanada.net with my Rec MMA Strong and Proud preview. And we already talked quite a bit about Joe Riggs and Jordan Means fight in the main event there, but a couple other big ones. What are your just quick thoughts on the event as a whole?
It's a big step up for Rec MMA. Nick Castiglia and the boys over there seem like they've really stepped things up. They've got a great venue at the Casino Lac Lame in Gatineau, just across the way from Ottawa there. So co-main event after or just before Jordan and Joe get in there, we got Mark Hale, Showtime Wedderburn going in there against Mark Boots Holst. Mark's last fight before he retires. I definitely pick him to come out victorious, although he had a rough stint in the UFC. I think he's definitely a step up in competition from Showtime, and if it goes to the ground, well, I think that'll be the end of Showtime. And then Matt McGrath versus Caleb Starnes, really, really intriguing matchup. I'm quite curious to see this. Matt's a really tough guy. He had a great fight with Claude Patrick, and you know, I'd like to see him come out on top. But Caleb, you know, he's a gamer as well, so that'll be real interesting to watch. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, a guy like Matt McGrath, I think a lot of people do naturally pull for. I mean, he takes the tough fights. You know, he has a really decent, exciting style. Comes from Eastern Canada there. I think the rest of Canada wants Eastern Canada to do well. And, you know, he just seems like an all-around great kind of guy. I don't know if that's a fair assessment at all, but I do see why people naturally pull for him. Coming from B.C., knowing Caleb well, I'm kind of hoping for a Caleb Starnes victory, and I'm sure ringside is as well. They'd like him to win there and build a bit of notoriety, you know, leading up to his fight with Patrick Cote on April 9th. But, you know, any outcome of that fight, I'm sure I'll be, you know, happy to see it because it does seem like a great fight, a very solid matchup of well-rounded guys, maybe one a little more experienced than Starnes. We are joined by a caller. Go ahead. You're on MMA Canada Radio.
Hello, Josh and David. This is Carl calling again this week.
Carl, our favorite call-in guest.
Yeah, that's the 2 weeks in a row I'm hot. I got some news I'd like to share with you guys.
News?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. This might go from the oldest promotion in Canada to the newest. WCFC, World Championship Full Contact. They're planning to come to Canada very soon. I've been working pretty closely with them in the last couple of weeks. They're hosting an event on the 29th in Boise, Idaho. They're going to be announcing all of their details shortly after that, and I'll be exclusively reporting that.
And so we can look for that on your own website. That would be MMAMadhouse.com. But maybe you can tell us a little more. Is it WCFC?
Yes.
Okay, and, you know, they're looking to promote then in Canada. Are they putting on just one show, or do you think they have a plan already in place for several?
Plan in place for several. This is their fifth event that they're doing in Boise.
Yeah.
First in Boise, though, but this is their fifth event. They're planning on coming to Canada with several events in 2011. And they're starting in British Columbia with their first show. That's all I know at the moment that I can share, anyhow.
Okay, well, that's definitely very interesting. And we're assuming all pro MMA?
Pro-Am.
Pro-Am, okay. But they're pros. Do they tend to go for, some recognizable names? Do you expect...
No, they like to do... they'll be... Whatever town they decide they're coming into, they're going to get as many local guys as possible on the cards.
Okay.
And that's how they like to operate.
Well, we can never get enough of local MMA around here, so that's exciting news to us.
Yeah, for sure. They also broadcast their shows online for $4.95. That's all. That'll all be on my website here shortly. And, I just really wanted to share that with you guys and break the news here that they're coming to Canada.
All right. Well, you heard it here first, folks, the WCFC promoting a show on the 29th in Boise, Idaho, and looking to come to Canada, starting somewhere in BC. And you can look for more details on that, probably on MMACanada.net, as well as on MMAMadhouse.com. So thanks, Carl. Is there anything else you want to touch on while we got you here?
Just one other real quick thing that's a little more local. I was talking to Glenn Kloschenko again. His show April 19th, or April 16th, sorry. He's going to have special guests, Cody McKenzie and Jonathan Brookins will be there in the house.
And which show is that?
AM Ford Fight Night.
Oh, okay, in trail.
Yep.
Okay,
that's all I got for you guys.
That's
awesome.
Great.
Hey, Carl, make sure you ask Cody McKenzie why he had no sponsorship at Fight for the Troops.
Tapout wouldn't pay him. That's what I was told. That's what I was told already.
Was a dispute, was it?
Pardon?
It was a bit of a dispute then, and he couldn't get other sponsors in time, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. That's really all that they told me, was Tapout wouldn't pay him.
I see.
Yeah. Well, I'm still the Neil Young of MMA in my books.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty odd, seeing him in there with bare trunks. That was...
Yeah. Well, it looked like, would you stop at Walmart and grab some shorts on the way to the fight?
Knowing Cody, he probably did.
No doubt. Okay, well, thanks a lot for the call, Carl. We appreciate it.
Yeah, great show again this week, too.
Hey, thanks, appreciate Carl. It, buddy. Take care.
Yep, bye.
And Josh, just before great call from Carl, and good news to hear that there will be some more MMA coming out there to BC, because I know you guys are...
Yeah, some Americans looking to move in. It's kind of interesting. Shake things up on the promotional scene.
Well, it's got to be tough putting on shows in the States. I mean, I think the economy down there is definitely tougher than it is here in Canada right now. And, there's just such a bevy of talent up here in Canada that it makes sense.
And so many fans, right? The fan density in Canada is so high.
Yeah. No, it's pretty extreme. But before we move on there from Caleb and Matt McGrath, it's kind of interesting to note that they're Caleb's sort of moving out east because he's got this fight at Rec MMA, and then he's got the fight coming up at ringside in the main event against Patrick Cote. And Matt McGrath, he's got his fight at Rec MMA, and then it was just announced yesterday, Dirk Wardenberg announced that he's got the next major Fight League event coming up in March And Matt's going to be fighting on that card against one of the veterans of Canadian MMA, Steve Vigneault, who's the Lionheart, been around since day one back in the days of UCC and TKO, and even before that, I believe he fought on the cards out in Ganawagi. So, yeah, it'll be great to see the Lionheart make a return to MMA. He hasn't fought since 2009 after taking a three-year hiatus. But, yeah, it's pretty big. I wasn't sure if MFL was going to come back for another show after the Gary Goodridge debacle at the last event.
Yeah, and I understand they've managed. I know there was some trouble with licensing, but they've managed to get Martin Stress de Soleil on the card as well, which, you know, that should play well, I would think, with the Quebecois crowd. And it seems that the fight scene in Quebec is heating up a little bit. We got Ringside, Rec, and MFL all promoting shows kind of within a month of each other. It seems to me like people are still trying to fill that void left by TKO, but I'm not sure who's going to come out on top. But it seems to be exciting times for MMA in Quebec right now.
Yeah, well, I mean, that Desolay signing by MFL definitely is a coup. If anything, I thought he was going to go to Ringside, to be their top light heavyweight. But no, big score there for Dirk. I don't know if things are heating up so much. I mean, there's quite a number of amateur shows. We had Fight Quest just took place this past weekend, and Ringside's just started Rising Star. But really, you've got Ringside. Putting on their shows, moving up to the Bell Centre, of course. W1, an Ontario-based promotion, was putting on their shows.
Yeah, also promotes them. Yep.
But I imagine they're waiting. We haven't heard anything about their upcoming schedule for this year, so I imagine they're waiting to get a license in Ontario and finally be able to start promoting in their home province. And Rec MMA, I mean, of course, they do put their shows on in Gatineau, but again, I think that's, out of necessity because they can't promote in Ontario right now.
Well, we're still all waiting for the dominoes to start falling in terms of Ontario MMA. That could change things, but in any case, we have three big cards all for Quebec coming up all within the next month and a half to 2 months here, so it's going to be a good run, if nothing else.
Yeah, no, it's definitely exciting, and especially this weekend with Rec MMA, that'll be quite good. As well this weekend, Rec MMA, not the only show happening on the 28th, Friday night as well. We've also got some Pro-Am MMA taking place in Calgary, Hard Knocks Fighting Championship putting on their next event. Always good shows. If you're in the Calgary area, definitely worth checking out on that card. It's kind of interesting. Bobby Kalmykoff will be taking place, will be fighting Buddy Dixon. And Bob, he's one of these fighters who comes out really strong for the first couple minutes, but has had sort of a tough run of it, shall we say, where he ends up losing. And I don't know if he'll be able to be fighting in Edmonton, where he's based out of. He's lost three in a row now after a couple of wins, but, I mean, his record's at 2-8. And Edmonton just instituting a new rule where fighters having lost five fights in a row can't fight here. It's kind of the Edmonton Commission came up with sort of a bunch of new rules, which are a little weird. Fighters are meant to have at least 10 amateur fights and a winning record before going pro. They have to be able to prove that they've been training for 6 months, and if you've lost five or more in a row, then you're not authorized to fight here.
This is in response, I suppose, to some of the criticisms they took for certain matchups. I think maybe Joe Riggs was lined up against a pretty questionable opponent at one point. Is it a response to some of that criticism?
Well, I think it might be. I mean, like you mentioned the Joe Riggs situation where he's meant to be fighting on the King of the Cage card in Cold Lake, Alberta, and they were originally going to match him against a guy who I think maybe had one MMA fight, and it was a loss, which is just silly. And then you've got Dan Severn coming in, and, I think the guy he fought last had a 1-2 record. You know, and you got to be kidding me. A UFC Hall of Famer, former heavyweight champ is taking on a guy who has three fights. Unless this guy is a serious stud, it's just not sanctionable. And so hopefully this is a way of kind of a step in the right direction for the Edmonton Commission. But, we'll see. I mean, either way, they definitely do a good job. And Edmonton puts on probably more MMA easily than any other city in Canada. So we'll see how these rule changes affect everything.
I mean, if there's anywhere where you can, you know, make rules about fighters not being, you know, licensable, it would be in Edmonton, where there seems to be, you know, plenty of events to go around, and it doesn't seem to be a problem finding guys for one reason or another. Okay, so but just to keep this on track, we have Rec MMA Strong and Proud Friday, this Friday coming up. Friday the 28th, you can download that, or you can stream it from GoFight Live for $10, which I intend to do. Also, that very same night, on the Friday, you have Hard Knocks MMA in Calgary. Feel free to check that out. It sounds like some up-and-comers, sounds like, you know, a bit of a dicey main event with Kalmykov there. But, hey, clearly he's exciting people if they came out to watch that fifth loss and they paid for that, and they must have something going on. Further, also on the Friday on HDNet, there'll be Titan MMA 16, something I'm looking forward to personally. Tim Sylvia still on his ongoing campaign to return to the UFC, taking on Tough 10 kind of washout, but an interesting guy in Abe Wagner. I believe he has some sort of advanced degree, and to listen to him talk, he's clearly a very intelligent guy, but taking his MMA career seriously, looking to maybe launch himself back into the UFC with a win over Sylvia. So that's an interesting fight. We mentioned before that the UFC is kind of desperate for heavyweights, so I have a hard time seeing the winner of that fight not getting a call-up. A couple other fights on that card, as I mentioned, Jason High in action, Jason the Kansas City Bandit, the fight's taking place in Kansas, so I think probably the crowd will be behind him. He's taking on Bellator vet Rudy Bears. It should be interesting. I think probably Jason coming up off that big victory on New Year's there in Japan over Sakuraba probably has a pretty decent chance in this fight, I would think, but it's going to be exciting. Also, Rich Clemente and Drew McFedry's on that card, so I plan to double screen it. I don't know about you. I'm going to have Rec Strong and Proud on my laptop and Titan MMA on my television. It's going to be a good all-around little Friday.
You're double fisting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two screening, for sure.
And just to be a stickler there, High's victory over Sakurai, not Sakuraba. He had his...
Oh, yeah, sorry. That's what I meant, obviously. Yeah. Sakuraba was on that card, though, but, you know, lost an ear to Zdoronski's kick or punch. I'm not sure what clawed the ear off. Yeah, a slip of the tongue there, but both on the card, both obviously legends in Japan, but both falling on somewhat of hard times. But yes, Jason High over Sakurai, and that was quite a fight as well. You know, a split decision even, I think.
Yeah, no, Jason, he's got to be on the cusp. Eh? He's 12-3 now. He's had, defeated Jordan, defeated Keto Allen, went over to Japan, beat Sakurai, who, you know, probably isn't what he used to be, but still a very, very dangerous high-level fighter. You know, and one can't think that he's too far away from getting another call from the UFC, I would hope, or, you know, Strikeforce, if not, considering he was just one and done with the UFC. He's definitely an up-and-coming talent to really, really watch.
Or if not more fights in Japan, certainly I think he should get some of the top names out there. This seems to me like a fight, mid-risk fight. Rudy Bears, obviously, had been around, but Jason and I think, angling towards those top promotions and those big fights, and I think he deserves them as well. Yeah, he's a real quality fighter. So that's Friday. We got Hard Knocks, Titan MMA on HDNet, and Rec MMA, in Gatineau, Quebec, as well as on GoFight Live. Then Saturday, there's some MMA happening in Halifax, and you mentioned Dan Severin not too long ago in the main event there, and he's been on a bit of, you know, a strange odyssey. I don't know if we've seen anything quite like this. He's sitting at 96 victories right now, I believe, going for number 97 here. My own kind of fantasy, he goes for that 100th win back on a UFC undercard or something, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Well, almost certainly not. But yeah, could be. I'd watch that. But in any case, taking on a bit of a tougher fighter, looking for a number 97 here, Scott Frazier, actually the Elite One heavyweight champion, I believe, sitting at a 3-1 record. What are your thoughts on, I guess, Dan Severin's strange odyssey that I just referenced, and I guess on this card in general, looks to be a decent one.
Yeah, no, Elite One MMA, they've really stepped up their game. They've got, you know, a really nice facility, the casino they're doing their shows at out there in Moncton, New Brunswick, for any fans that are out in the Maritimes that want to make the journey. Casino New Brunswick, they've got great lighting, great sound. We'll have coverage of the fights. Craig Wassing will be out there covering the event for us. But Dan, I mean... I've been fortunate enough to see Dan fight around here while he like Shannon Rich, has sort of been on a Canadian tour through 2010, King of the Cage Canadian Tour 2010. And, yeah, I mean, he's a tough old guy. He might be in his 50s, you know, had more than 100 fights, but he knows what he's doing when he's in there. He's a grappler. He's smart. He doesn't take a lot of damage, a lot of punches. You know, he can get guys to the ground. And, again, you know, Scott Fraser, heavyweight champ out there, definitely a test for him. But, again, 3-1, huge difference in terms of experience. And so I'm always going to defer and go with the beast. You know, I pick the beast in that one. How can you not?
Yeah, no, I'm not sure how you could not either, but you got to think that the other shoe is going to drop at some point. At some point, one of these young guys is going to, you know, sneak a lucky one in there or something. But as well, I saw Dan fight fairly recently at a King of the Cage in Penticton this past spring. And yeah, he still moves well, and he's clearly got a very deep bag of tricks, as you're alluding to, from all his years of experience. So he is able definitely to avoid the damage and you know, put people in tough positions. And, you know, again, I say, you know, more power to him. I hope he gets to that 100 mark. I don't know if that's meaningful to him, but I've been cheering for it for a while now.
Yeah, no, that would be phenomenal. I don't know, would he be the first fighter to ever get to the century in terms of wins? I can't think of any other fighter. I mean, Travis Fulton and Shannon Rich have been fighting forever, but I don't think either of them are anywhere near 100 wins, maybe 100 losses.
yeah, no, I think Fulton probably has the most fights. A guy like Jeremy Horn's nowhere near 100. I know he's fought a lot, but no, I can't think of anyone who could touch that. I don't think anyone's broken the century mark to my knowledge.
Wow, so that'll be a big moment when Dan finally marches on. Hopefully it'll be part of his 2011 Canadian tour. And it's phenomenal. I mean, you saw him fight last year in BC. I've seen him in Alberta a couple times. Now he's fighting out on the East Coast. You know, he's definitely found something where he's enjoying being up here and coming to fight. But maybe it has something to do with the tough economy down there, and we're just paying better up here. Hard to say. So that's Saturday night, Elite One MMA out in Moncton. For those few people in Canada that actually get Super Channel, Josh, you being the MMA fiend you are, I know you do.
I do, yeah. I'll be checking that out. Actually, I misspoke earlier, not in Halifax, in Moncton, New Brunswick, and definitely encourage everyone out there to check that out. Also, a couple title fights as well on that card. I believe their featherweight, vacant featherweight title is the end of a tournament, if I'm not mistaken. So probably there's been some hype building up to that. And as well, there's a light heavyweight title fight on that card, so definitely worth checking out. If I can just comment on Super Channel, you mentioned, obviously, I think most people know, Strikeforce Diaz versus Cyborg. Coming at the end of our discussion here, which is maybe fitting for MMA Canada Radio, and we'll just touch on it quickly, but I do get Super Channel. I watch all the Strikeforce cards on there, but that's it, though. I am an MMA fiend. I fiend out on it pretty hard. I'm not so sure that Strikeforce is benefiting immensely from being on Super Channel, because they're not reaching anyone, I don't think, who isn't already interested in their product. You know, I don't think anyone, even if you have Super Channel, very few people do. It's kind of a bit of a luxury channel, and, you know, only the movies on there. And it's good, but do people really happen across Strikeforce on Super Channel? Are they reaching new eyeballs? Is that something Strikeforce is even, you know, particularly interested in at this point? I'm sometimes baffled by their strategy. What do you make of the whole Super Channel exclusivity in Canada?
I don't know. For myself, I think it's a useless proposition. I mean, it's such marginal distribution that very few people have Super Channel. It's a specialty channel that you have to, you know, specifically pay for. And really, I think Bellator has a better deal going forward with MTV2 and the way they broadcast. I believe in Canada, is it on the Score or Sportsnet?
They were appearing on the Score, I believe. Hopefully they still do.
In the Score, that's where you want to be. Like, honestly, what the hell is Super Channel? Who's going to Super Channel to watch MMA? You know, like every few months you're going to tune in to an MMA event there. It's not something that's consistent by any stretch. So I think, you know, Strikeforce really wants to be serious about gaining some traction in Canada and some market penetration. They've got to find a better distribution channel, be it through one of the sports networks or another specialty channel that's a part of a more common package that people get. But except for hardcore guys like yourself that get Super Channel strictly for the Strikeforce events, I don't think there's many people that are turning on to MMA through watching it on Super Channel just by luck.
No, I can't see it. And I mean, maybe at this point that's not their biggest concern, but I find it frustrating. You know, you can maybe tell your friends there's this great fight card on tonight. You can go on and on about, you know, the virtues of Jacare Souza. But you know, at the end of the day, if they can't turn it on and if you can't tell them what channel to flip to, they're not going to get into it. And anyway, we should break down the card. It's a great card, but I do wish that Strikeforce, you know, was a bit more accessible to people. But I'm excited for it. You know, people can probably look most of this up. We should have previews and predictions, possibly from myself, on MMACanada.net this week. But that main event, Nick Diaz, Evangelista Cyborg Santos, the original Cyborg Santos, what do you make of this? Santos, I think what Strikeforce is doing, if you ask me, is that they have a viable commodity in Santos, and they need to keep Diaz busy. So they figure, you know, better now than later, while Santos is still, you know, pretty marketable. Why not now, I guess, is what they're thinking. But it seems like a pretty clear Diaz fight. Your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a tough one for Strikeforce. They just really don't have a lot of depth in that welterweight division. Like his last fight, KJ Nunes, was, you know, he's really a lightweight. So now you've got Diaz taking on Santos, where this is actually an opportunity for, you know, if Diaz wins, it's great. Diaz is Diaz. But if Santos wins, well, you know, there's a nice spin. Then they've got a husband and wife champion in their organization, both Cyborg. You know, I don't know which one looks more badass than the other, because they're both pretty hardcore looking people. I don't know if Cyborg Santos is necessarily, you know, maybe the top contender, but he's the best that they've got right now. And until, say, maybe Paul Daly. But, you know, then things get screwed up with, you know, Daly fighting over for Bama, where if he loses that fight, you know, which is quite possible, taking on the deep champion, then, you know, he's out in Strikeforce. So, yeah, it's a bit of an odd one there. But in that fight, I definitely take Diaz. I like him. Santos, of course, he's got the grinder puncher's chance. You know, he's a tough bastard. It's coming out of the shoot box, now living in California. But, yeah, I definitely go with Diaz in that. Sort of the freak show fight, if you want to call it that, Herschel Walker taking on Scott Carson. What are your thoughts on that one, Josh?
Well, Carson, when you look at his record, you'll see he's 4-1, but you may also notice that his only fight in, I believe, the last 8 or 9 years was a loss to a decent opponent. But so it is, again, a bit of a circus match, but I figure Strikeforce is smart enough to find somebody that they're pretty sure Herschel can beat, so I think it's a pretty safe bet. I'm not sure what the odds have opened up at, but I would just bank on the fact that Strikeforce knows what they're doing, at least enough to keep Herschel Walker safe, because have you seen some of the media hoopla surrounding this fight? I guess Herschel Walker referenced that he may want to return to the NFL, and then some... you know, some of the MMA media were upset that when that story was printed, Strikeforce's name wasn't mentioned in the story. But regardless, he gets people talking. So I understand where Strikeforce is coming from with Herschel Walker. It is an interesting story. I am interested to see how it turns out, but obviously not particularly relevant in the grand scheme of mixed martial arts competition.
Yeah, I don't think, unless you're an NFL fan, you could really... If you're an NFL fan, you care about Herschel Walker being in MMA. Otherwise, you don't really care. I mean, I don't follow the NFL, and I could really care less that he's getting involved because it's great for him. Cool to see an older guy who's a top athlete get out there and compete. But, you know, I'm interested in guys that are trying to make a career out of this and a run for the title and become the best in the world. I think it serves the purpose. It brings mainstream media attention to the sport and Strikeforce. And that's exactly what it's meant to do and not much more. And so it is what it is, and I think it'll do quite well for them. But more interestingly, though, guys that are top of the game and trying to keep on moving up, Jacare Souza and Robbie Lawler fighting it out for the middleweight title there. I pray to God Souza doesn't decide that he wants to work his improved stand-up game against Lawler. I think that's a big mistake, and if he's smart, he'll prove why he's one of the best grapplers in the world and take him straight to the ground and finish the fight quickly. Otherwise, it could turn quite ugly for him going in there with the heavy-handed Robbie Lawler.
Yep, no, I think I more or less agree. I don't think it's fair to assume that Souza shouldn't or couldn't stand with him at all, but to attempt to defeat him on the feet, to attempt to, you know, fight the whole fight that way, I think would certainly be unwise, playing to his opponent's strengths. He did have a decent stand-up performance against Tim Kennedy, and Kennedy obviously not a knockout artist on the level of Lawler, but Souza proved he's able, if not to hit with strength and power, in particular power, then at least to pick his spots and kind of get in and out with some speed. He's obviously an amazing athlete, and that is what has allowed him to become the grappler that we all know he is. I do like Souza in this fight. I like him to strike just enough, just well enough, just long enough to get a takedown, to, you know, apply his, you know, his game. But obviously Lawler, as you referenced, you know, could always knock anyone out at more or less any time. We saw that just recently, Matt Lindland. So, yeah, it's a really excellent fight. I think maybe even Strikeforce is hoping that Lawler pulls through on that one. I think they've put a lot of marketing dollars behind him. Obviously, Souza not an American, which doesn't help. You know, I'm maybe reading too much into it, but I think maybe Strikeforce bottom line would benefit more from a Lawler win, but I'm predicting Souza to come out on top.
Yeah, no, I don't understand why, I guess I appreciate guys that have their base in jiu-jitsu or wrestling, you know, wanting to prove themselves and practice their stand-up and whatnot, but why guys don't use the striking aspect of their game more to set up the takedown and go to their world? Yeah, if you want to strike, fine, strike. Throw a three-punch combo and then grab a single, you know, or do whatever. But, you know, if Melvin Manhoef can't stand and trade with Robbie Lawler, and Manhoef was laying a beating on him.
Yeah, listen, he can stand and trade. He just can't take a punch from Robbie Lawler. That's the problem. Robbie Lawler is definitely hittable. We did see that. But, no, yeah, you don't want to get hit by him.
And just while we're touching on great grapplers and using their skills, Hoosier Gracie going in there against Trevor Prangley. Prangley, former South African wrestling champ, you know, really nice stand-up, top-notch fighter. Used to be the NFC light heavyweight champ before being stripped of his title for fighting outside the promotion. This is a really intriguing matchup. I'm always interested to see when one of the Gracies gets in the cage. Hoosier, you know, some say is the best jiu-jitsu guy in the world right now. It'll be quite interesting to see how he fares in there against a guy who's a real tough test, Prangley, where, you know, Gracie's only got three fights.
Yeah, only three fights, but against sort of increasingly competent opponents, and again, similar to Ronaldo Jacare Souza, just that kind of second-level jiu-jitsu where he can submit just about anyone in the world. But what you have here, I think, is one of MMA's great rising stars in Hoosier Gracie against one of MMA's great, maybe all-time gatekeepers to the stars. You know, Prangley has been around the block, mostly won, never quite achieved that level of success that, you know, all MMA fighters dream of. Obviously, the MFC title, impressive. But I don't think Prangley, you know, is going back to the UFC anytime soon, and Hodger would probably like to get there. So to do so, he's going to have to get through Prangley, and it really is going to be a very interesting fight. Prangley probably that devastating stand-up combined with his wrestling, can Hodger take him down? I'm not sure. You know, actually, my gut maybe even says Prangley finds a way here, but again, if he does end up on the ground with Hodger, he's probably in some serious trouble.
Yeah, I'm gonna lean with you there, buddy. I'm gonna go with Prangley there. I'm gonna say his wrestling is gonna be able to keep the fight on the feet, he just fought with Keith Jardine at Shark Fights and won a unanimous decision there. And Jardine's definitely a decent stand-up fighter and a tricky guy. So if Prangley can keep it on the feet, I'd definitely like him in this one against Gracie. I think Gracie's just maybe been given a little more than he's ready to handle at this point in his young MMA career, regardless of his standout jiu-jitsu. But so that's the weekend coming up, buddy.
Yeah, there you have it. Just to review, you have quite a stacked weekend. You know, we're not always going to have a preview this long, this many events, noteworthy in Canada, outside of Canada, Rec MMA, as well as Titan MMA 16 and Hard Knocks, all on Friday. You can check out the site, check out the MMA Canada events board for further information on Saturday, Elite One in Moncton, not Halifax, as well as Strikeforce Diaz versus Cyborg. So a very busy weekend. I will be busy taking it in. I'm sure anyone and everyone out there listening will be watching at least some of that as well. We got pretty close to what you were hoping for here in a 90-minute program. Our 60 minutes kind of extended to 80. We hope everyone out there enjoyed that extra little bit of MMA Canada radio, and we hope you tune in next week.
Peace out, everybody.
Peace.